You know how you get in a routine? I always come up that aisle, decide I come up that aisle. Let's just break things up a bit. Just to break things up a bit. Yeah, yeah. Well, the book of Ruth has been so interesting to me. I really love Judges, but I'm finding a lot in this book too. It's kind of like a play. It's a four-act play. And the first act, chapter 1, takes place in the country of Moab. And then act 2, chapter 2, takes place in the fields of Boaz in Bethlehem. Then we have act 3 on the threshing floor of Boaz. And then act 4 at the city gates in Bethlehem. It's really interesting if you look at it that way. You look at the characters as they come out, and you see their personalities, their traits, their good traits, their bad traits. And we're going to look into some of them this morning. Chapter 1 ended with Naomi and Ruth, the Moabitess, returning from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem, it says, in the beginning of barley harvest. And that is the time of Passover. So we begin chapter 2, verse 1. I have two versions in front of me. I have the Old King James, I have the New King James. And there's some I like in each one of them. In the New King James, it says, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a great man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. I could not find an exact meaning of the name Boaz, but most of what I found says it means standing in strength is probably what Boaz means. And he was an impressive man. Because look at his lineage. His grandfather, Nahshon, if you remember who he is, he was the prince of the tribe of Judah while they wandered in the wilderness. And then his father, Salmon, you remember him. He fought in the Battle of Jericho with Joshua. And he ended up marrying Rahab, the harlot that was saved from that city. Now, our text tells us that he was a mighty man. Mighty man, meaning conveying the idea that he was a man of fine qualities. Not just that he was wealthy, but he was an upstanding person. In fact, King Solomon thought so highly of Boaz, his great-great-grandfather, that he named a pillar, one of two on the temple, after Boaz. That's in 1 Kings 7, if you want to check that out. But he truly was a man that stood in strength, because he lived during the days of Judges. And Judges, every man did that what they thought was right in their own eyes. And the whole country was a mess. I mean, it was corrupt. But Boaz, he stood firm. He stood strong in these days. And he never faltered. Verse 2, it says, and Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. I like that, but I like the way it says it in New King James too, because it says, Ruth said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean corn. And Naomi said, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Kindred. Gleaning. In Deuteronomy 24, we see a very compassionate law that God designed. People could go into the fields that were poor, and they could glean what was left after the reapers went by. And I want to look at Deuteronomy 18 because I want to see exactly the words God said. And he said, Deuteronomy 24, 18. And he says, thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in Egypt. And the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Command. He didn't ask them. He didn't propose if you feel like it. This was the 11th commandment. I command you to do this. And he says, when you cut down your harvest in the field and you forgot a sheaf, don't go get it. Leave it out there for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all thy work of thy hand. And then he goes on, when you beat the olive tree, don't go over it again. Only do it once. And when you pick the grapes of the vineyard, don't go through it again. When more ripen, because grapes don't all ripen at the same time. You get your major clump, but then you have some others that aren't ready yet. And you're not to go back 2 weeks later and strip the vines. Leave them for the poor, the stranger. And in verse 19, he says, if you do this, I will bless you in all that you do. So there's a reward in obeying his commandment. There was no state assistance in those days. There was no WIC. There was no trail card or whatever they have today. So if you were poor, your family didn't have anything, and your immediate family didn't take care of you, well, you had to beg or starve. This is the way God provided for everybody. It was also a way for the ones with much to give to those that had little. And we see God's heart for the poor in this, his passion for them. Because he didn't ask them to do this. He commanded them to do this. He's telling them, be as kind as you can to everybody. Let me see how much you can give away. And that's true for us today. We are to be generous to those around us. And see how much God blesses us in return. In verse 2, we're looking at Ruth here, because she's the main character in this act of play. We see the true spirit of Ruth in chapter 2. They had no food. They had no men to take care of them. And let's look at what Ruth did not say first. Because by looking at that, you see what she said. You see what her heart is like. And she says, she did not say, let me go back to the land of Moab. Here, there's nothing. We have nothing. All I have is wants. But in Moab, my father's house, there is plenty of bread. Let me return there. She didn't say that. She's not thinking of her home country. She has wholeheartedly decided to trust in the God of Israel. And she had said, even though he slay me, I will follow him. That's the level of faith we need today. Sometimes we put way too much value on the pleasures and the comforts of this world, and not enough on the next. And I found this out in my own household a week or so ago when I went home and I looked out and my sprinklers were on. And when I went out after supper to shut them off, they were not on. And I found out that I had overpumped my well and I didn't have any water for the night. The comforts of life. We're not used to lugging water from the creek. You turn on the faucet, it's there. It wasn't. So I had to go to bed with no shower after roofing at my son's house. Now, praise God, in the morning my well recovered, and I don't run my sprinklers on my well anymore. In Job, it says, naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord take away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter what we have or what we don't have. If we look to Him, blessed be His name. So we see Ruth's humility in these verses here. Because when Providence made her poor, she wasn't poor in Moab. Her father had food and water and goats and sheep. When she was made poor by Providence, she didn't say, I'm too ashamed to go glean. In fact, gleaning was begging in those days. No, she cheerfully stoops to that level that she's been brought to. And she requests to go glean. I like that. This idea to glean was not Naomi's. Her mother-in-law didn't command her to go. We have no food, daughter. Go out and glean the fields. That's the law in these parts. She requested, may I please go glean in the field. And also observe how she speaks of herself in this expectation of gleaning. She says, let me glean in him who I find grace. She doesn't say, let me go glean and they will let me glean. No. She says, I will go with the hopes that somebody will allow me the liberty. People that are like that, I don't want to use the word poor all the time, but let's say less fortunate, they must not demand what they want, but humbly ask for what they need. And then it's a favor when it's given to them. And Ruth shows how industrious she is in this. She doesn't want to, I'm going into town, Mom, visit with the girls. It's boring sitting here around all day with no food and nothing to do. No. She's a virtuous woman that doesn't love idleness. And she's prosperous and hardworking with a purpose in her life. And this is an example to all our young people today, because they have to learn to labor and not to just play, which is common. It's also a good example to less fortunate people to work for their living, if they're able to, and not just ask for handouts. Then I saw the regard that Ruth had for Naomi. She was her mother-in-law, but Ruth's father, her husband, died, which released her from the law of husband. So she had no legal right or legal obligation to the mother-in-law with her husband dead. But she would not go out without letting her mother-in-law know. She asked permission. This is respect that young people show parents, elders. It's part of the honor that's due them. You don't demand respect. You get it from how you are. You earn it. We show respect to our president, to the governor, not because we love them. We show them respect because the position honors it. She didn't say to her mother, "Go with me and I'll glean." No. She says, "You stay home, rest. I'll go glean if it's okay with you." The other thing that she did is she showed a dependence on providence. Because she said, "I will glean after him whose sight I will find grace." So she's relying on somebody somewhere out there to show her grace and allow her to go glean in their field. She was a stranger, actually, in that land. She didn't know the area. She didn't know anybody because she was from Moab. And yet, not knowing which way to go, not knowing who to ask, she goes out, trusting that providence would provide someone that she could go glean in. And it's good for us to be like Ruth, that we too trust in divine providence and believe that while we do good things and do well, that it, providence, does well for us. And it did well for Ruth because she went out alone. She had no companion. She went to glean, and it says her hap fell upon the field of Boaz. Ruth didn't know whose field that was. And she had no reason to pick that field over any other field. Little did she know that providence was directing her path, her steps to that particular field. God wisely orders small events that seem to happen completely by chance, but they serve His glory and His people. There's been many a great accomplishment brought about by just a little turn in the road of your life, which seems lucky to us, but was directed by providence with design. A person stops and sees a cute little church. "Oh, I think I'll stop in Sunday morning and see what's happening there." And they hear a message. And that day, that message changes their life. And they say, "Wow, lucky am I that I stopped." No, not luck. God's divine providence. And in verse 4, we go on. And it says, "Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless thee.' And said Boaz to his servant that was set over the reapers, 'Whose damsel is this?' And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Boaz was the Lord of all that he had. He was the Lord of his fields. He was the Lord of his workers. He was the Lord. He was the boss. And he was not a taskmaster. We see this. He walked among the workers. And he would say to them, "The Lord be with you." And they responded. With his words, he's actually praying for his workers, blessing them. And likewise, the Lord is not a taskmaster over us. Because he walked in the cool of the day in the garden with Adam and Eve. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. God came down in the form of Jesus Christ and walked among man on the earth. It says in John 1:14 that he dwelt among us. He tabernacled with us. But the world rejected him. And today, God walks among us in his church. But the church today is experiencing rejection, persecution, difficulties, because wherever God has walked with man, the world has always rejected him. But he was a good boss. I worked for Wang Laboratories for many years. They were a computer company back east. He had thousands of employees, multiple buildings all over the country. And in my years there, a union tried to come into that facility. There was no union there. But you couldn't stop them from soliciting a vote. That was against the law. So Dr. Wang, he was his name, he says, "Come in. I'll set up a meeting. Talk to the people. I don't care." Because he treated his workers right. Every single time the vote came up for a union, it was rejected. We didn't need one there. That's how Boaz was. He liked his people. He loved them. He walked among them. He talked to them. Now, he had a servant in charge of his reapers, a foreman, so to speak. And this person would appoint the tasks and make sure they were done. But yet, Boaz himself would come to the field to see how things were going. This visit, it showed encouragement to the workers. They would look up and, "Here is, you know, I better be cutting sheaves here because here is the man." But no, he said, "Oh, the Lord be with you." And they would respond accordingly. "Bless thee." This gained mutual respect. He to them, because they were good workers, and them to him, because he was a good boss. With all these people in his field, he notices one young lady that is out of place, Ruth. And he says to his foreman, "Who's she?" And he gets a small report of who she was. And the foreman says that, you know, she came here from Moab, and she has been out here cutting and gleaning and hasn't and tarried a little in the house, it says. Well, this text in Hebrew implies that she spent a little time resting in this hut that was set up for shade and resting purposes. If you look in the Septuagint, it translates the same phrase as "she has not rested even a little." And the Latin Vulgate reads, "she has not returned home, even for a short time." But nonetheless, the understanding here is Ruth was a hard worker. She worked hard, didn't waste her time lounging around in the shade. That's a virtue. So in verse 8, Boaz talks to Ruth. And he says unto Ruth, "Hearest not, my daughter? Go not to glean in any other field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they will not touch thee? And when thou art thirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Boaz is kind, very kind, to this stranger. And he tells her, "You don't have to go anywhere. You just glean in my field." He's implying, "I will take care of you. Stay close to my maidens." And the men that did the reaping, the maidens would follow after these reapers. The men would cut them down, but the maidens would come later behind them and bind them up and bind them into sheaves. And you see them stacking the fields with the sheaves. That was their job. And Boaz knew that those of her own sex were better company for her than the men. And he tells his men, "Don't touch her." I don't mean touch, but in other words, don't hassle her. She has my permission to be here. Don't take advantage of her, but treat her kindly. And then Ruth was told, "Whenever you're thirsty, you come drink of the water that has been provided." And that reminds me of Revelation 22, where the Spirit says, "Let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely." This is what Boaz is telling Ruth. As Jesus tells us in John, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." This is the water that we are to drink. It's been drawn for us. The living water of salvation, the Holy Spirit. Ruth was to come and drink, but we're to go to Jesus and drink. And when we're born again, when we've accepted Christ, out of our heart will flow abundances of the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 10, she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found grace in thy sight, that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said, "It has been fully shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of the nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knew not henceforth." And he says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee in the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me And for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto thy handmaids. And 14 told him, Boaz said, at mealtime come, eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reaches, and he reached parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed, and left. Ruth was a Moabitess, and God had cursed the Moabites. He proclaimed that they could not come near the tabernacle for 10 generations. And Ruth knew this, being a Moabite. She knew this curse. That's why she was so shocked with, here's this great man, and she finds grace in his sight. That's how I feel. How can I find grace in God's sight? I'm from Moab. And verse 11 really caught my eye, and I don't want us to skip over verse 11. Because what it said is, Boaz said, it hath been fully shown me. He got some information from his foreman, but it was basic. Here he's telling Ruth, it has fully been shown me what you've done. I read that as Boaz being a righteous man. He's living in accordance with God's word. Therefore, his spirit is in alignment with God's spirit. When you're in alignment with God's Spirit, knowledge from God is allowed to flow down to you. And this is how he knew all about her. Because I don't believe she told her life story to that foreman. But God told it to her, him. And just as Boaz knew now all about Ruth, the Lord knows all about us. And yet he has still chosen to show us grace. We don't understand it. We don't deserve it. But I'm so grateful for it. And God doesn't condemn us. He doesn't focus on our sin. He hears our sigh. He hears our heart crying, I want more of you, Lord. Even though I'm a Moabite, even though I have problems, I want to be right in your sight. And he responds with grace. There's an interesting and a beautiful analogy in verse 14. Boaz invites Ruth to the table, and he offers her bread and vinegar. Well, vinegar and wine are pretty close, you know, they're fermented drinks. And it kind of looks like a analogy of communion. And Jesus invites us all to partake of bread and wine, often in remembrance of him. The other thing was, Boaz was not stingy in his providing for the reapers. But he set so much more out there for them that there was plenty for a stranger to come and sit down and be satisfied. And Malachi 3:10 tells us the same thing. It says, if you're willing to give to God's storehouse, he will pour out blessings to you in such abundance that you don't have room for it. And in Luke, Jesus says, give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And with the same measure that you meet, it'll be measured to you. We're told to be like Boaz, to give from what we have. Everybody doesn't have the same. And we saw that in the old woman that only gave a mite into the treasury. But yet Jesus says she gave more than all those rich. The more we give, the more we receive. If we give much, we'll get much. If we give a little, we get a little. And verse 14 says, she did eat and was sufficed. Whenever we eat of God's word, we are sufficed. We are satisfied. We go on in 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, beat out that which she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law, what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave it to her, that she had received, reserved, after she was sufficed. An ephah was about 5 days eating for two people in those days. And Boaz, what he had said, he said, let her glean in the best places of the field and don't to bother her. In fact, why don't you spill out some of the good stuff and leave it there for her? The workers could have protested, say, wait, that's not fair. But, you know, grace is not fair. We see that all throughout the Bible. Grace is unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. And Boaz shows grace toward Ruth by making special provisions for her. The Jewish publication version of the Old Testament reads that verse as, pull some out for her. The reapers were told to see that, make sure there's an abundance of grain right in her path, and then leave it for her. Ruth, in gleaning these sheaves that are deliberately left by Boaz, it's a great illustration of us believers gleaning food for our soul in the Scriptures that have been left for us. Our heavenly Boaz, Jesus, he paid the price for the spoil. As we kneel down to take each morsel, Psalm says, rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil. So Ruth goes back to her mother-in-law at the end of the day. In 19, her mother-in-law said to her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where was thou? Blessed be he that take knowledge of thee. And she doesn't even know where she went or who she was with, but her mother-in-law says, blessed be that person. And she showed her mother-in-law whom she had wrought and said, the man with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And then Naomi must have been put back, and she says, "Blessed be he of the Lord that hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." So, normally, your kids come home, you say, "Where were you today, son? Daughter?" And it's important for parents to take care to inquire where their children have been, who they've been with, what they've been doing. Where do they spend their time? Now, I don't mean this as a cross-examination. No. But you don't want to frighten your children or discourage them from telling you or make them hate their home to the point of lying where they've been. But you want to commend them when they did well and gently correct them when they go astray. And I think that's a good question that we ask ourselves at the end of every day. Where have I gleaned today? What fields have I been wandering in? What have I done or obtained that would turn out to be a good report? And Ruth names Boaz as the one that was kind to her, and Naomi remembers, he's kin to us. He's our goel. That word is used 64 times in the Old Testament. And every time it's translated, it's either kinsman or redeemer. Our blessed Savior is our goel. He's our kinsman redeemer. He has the right to redeem. And if we expect to receive benefit from him, then we must stay close to him, like Naomi, like Ruth, staying close to Boaz's maidens. We got to stay in his fields. We got to stay close to his family. We can't go to the world's fields and glean there. Has the Lord dealt bountifully with us? Yes, he has. Then let us not be found in any other field. Let's not seek happiness and satisfaction in the fields of the world. Verse 21 through the end of the chapter. It says, "And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me, also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. He said to me, "Thou shalt keep fast by my young men." Is that what he said? That's not what he said. Boaz said, "Stay close to my maidens," because he knew she should stay next to females. In the time of reaping and harvesting and thrashing and all that, it was a party time. It was a great celebration. The fields were finally clean and the harvest was in. So naturally there's a celebration, which would be probably drinking a little wine. That was the drink of those days. Boaz knew it would not be good for her to be among the men. Naomi also knew it was not good for her to be among the men. So, knowing that with age comes wisdom, that Ruth listens to Naomi and to Boaz, and she stays close to the women all throughout the harvest season. And it says after gleaning, every single day Ruth went back home each night. She's not out looking for fun. She's not out looking for games and pleasure. She goes back home at night. To me, she appears to be like the woman of virtue in Proverbs 31. She's very hardworking. She has purpose. She's not into excitement and pleasures of the world. We were introduced to Boaz today, Ruth's kinsman redeemer. It's a picture type of Jesus Christ, our redeemer. Ruth is a picture of the bride of Christ, which is the church, us. We want to take care that we be like Ruth, that we must be diligent to glean from the field of God's word, to be dedicated to Him, and not to stray away to the fields of the world. We will not find what our heart desires in any other field but the Lord's field. By spending our time in His Word, we're preparing ourselves to be His bride without spot or wrinkle for this great marriage feast of the Lamb. A generation ago, which was before my time, maybe most here, I don't know, there was a question that was frequently asked among Christians, and it was, where have you gleaned today? And I think we should revive that question. I think we should bring it back, because it's a good greeting that those that love God's word. Where have you gleaned today? Was it in the field of the world where Satan says, come over to my field. You'll have plenty of fun and pleasure and excitement. Or have you been in the field of God's word, close to the side of your Redeemer? Lord, I'd like to thank you for what you're showing us in the scriptures today. That your field, your word, is the only place we should be gleaning. Yes, we have tasks to do every day. We have responsibilities, Lord, but in the morning, we look to you for our guidance for the day. And at night, we thank you for what you blessed us with. I pray, Lord, that you call everyone here to your fields, that we all may glean, that we all look to you for our redemption, that not one of us go astray to another field. And we just thank you, Lord, for watching out over us and showing us grace, even though we don't deserve it.